Today's program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by the Audio Journal. Thanks to the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind for their ongoing support. Hi, hello, and welcome. My name is Adam, and if you're looking for something to do this weekend, well, you've come to the right place. Over the next hour, we'll be making our way through a myriad of things, a plethora of options, a gaggle of possibilities, all of which you can do this weekend right here in Worcester County. So grab a seat, get comfy, and get ready, because this is Weekend Update. Everybody, welcome to Weekend Update, and welcome to the final week of June. We still have a few more days of June next week, but for all intents and purposes, this is the final full week of June, as hard as that is to believe. And not only that, this is the final run-up to the 4th of July, which is coming up very, very quickly, and our nation's 250th birthday, which is what we're going to be talking about today, specifically fireworks. We always set them off on the 4th of July, but do you know why? Well, there was one man who got that ball rolling, so to speak, with his declaration that we should have fireworks to celebrate the 4th of July. Any idea who that man is? Well, before we can answer that question, we have to go back to the beginning of the story, which is around 200 BC in China. Like many inventions, fireworks were created by accident. The Chinese didn't set out to invent them. They weren't even looking for them. They were actually looking for immortality. They would start their search for immortality with bamboo, and they would take this bamboo and roast it over an open fire. When that bamboo heated up, it would explode, and this was because of its hollow air pockets. They believed that the explosion and resulting sound would keep evil spirits at bay. And they thought that if they kept these evil spirits at bay and the evil spirits didn't bother them, they could live forever. That was their thinking. Now, at some point between 600 and 900 AD, the Chinese alchemists started looking for an elixir for immortality. They thought there might be something they could put together that they could ingest, and that would make them live forever. To do this, they mixed together saltpeter, charcoal, sulfur, and other ingredients to see what would happen. Well, what they didn't know was that they had actually created an early form of gunpowder. They would stuff this gunpowder into bamboo shoots and throw these into the fire, creating an even bigger blast than before. And fireworks were officially born. Soon, paper tubes would replace those bamboo stalks, and the Chinese discovered that these fiery sticks could be used for more than just scaring away ghosts. They could be used for other things, like celebrating special events. And they would put on fireworks shows to do this. Now, these fireworks shows were nothing like the shows we have today. For starters, there was no color. They were just a series of small, noisy explosions. Secondly, they didn't shoot them into the air because they didn't have a way to do so. Yet. That wouldn't come for another 200 years. For now, they simply threw them into a fire and watched them explode, and they were very content with doing that. Now, standing by the side, watching all of this and taking very keen notice was the military. The military took an interest in gunpowder right away, and they set about trying to figure out if there was some way they could use it. By the 10th century, the military had developed crude bombs, and they began attaching these bombs, or firecrackers as they called them, to arrows that would rain down on their adversaries during military engagements. By the year 1200, though, arrows were no longer needed, as the Chinese had something far more accurate and far more powerful. Cannons. They figured out how to use gunpowder to aim and blast projectiles at their enemies. Off the battlefield, this technology was also being used, and it was being used to create something beautiful. The first aerial fireworks. In the 13th century, gunpowder samples and formulas began making their way into Europe and Arabia, brought there by diplomats, explorers, and Franciscan missionaries, Western scientists, metallurgists, and military leaders threw themselves into these new substances in an effort to make them even more potent and powerful. Because of this, fireworks became increasingly popular, and they would use them for all kinds of things, like to commemorate military victories, but also to enhance public celebrations, like religious ceremonies. And they even had experts who would go and set off these fireworks for these celebrations. For example, in medieval England, these experts were known as firemasters. These firemasters had assistants known as green men, so-called because of the green leaves that they wore on their heads to protect them from sparks. The green men would double as jesters, entertaining crowds as they set up the displays. Not surprisingly, this was a very, very dangerous profession, with many green men dying or suffering injuries when detonations went wrong. And they did go wrong quite often. Because of this, and by the time of the Renaissance, pyrotechnic schools were set up to train fireworks artists across Europe, particularly in Italy, which became famous for its elaborate and colorful displays. Earlier displays, which, while still scientifically not much different from the Chinese, were a heck of a lot more entertaining, but they still only featured booming sounds, an orange flash, and a little bit of light. It was the Italians who became the first to incorporate trace amounts of metals and other additives, creating the bright, multi-hued sparks and sunbursts seen in contemporary fireworks shows. Fireworks gained a strong following among European rulers, who used them to enchant their subjects and light up their castles on important occasions. And to them, every occasion was an important occasion. The earliest recorded display in England took place on Henry II's wedding day in 1486. In 1685, James II's royal firemaster put on such a dazzling presentation for the king's coronation that he received a knighthood for his work. French kings also got in on the act by putting on spectacular displays at Versailles and other palaces. Even Tsar Peter the Great of Russia got in on the act by arranging a 5-hour pyrotechnic extravaganza, and this was to mark the birth of his son. So the Europeans really liked their fireworks, setting them off on any occasion and for practically any reason. Remember this thought, as we'll be talking more about it next week. Europeans would bring their knowledge and appreciation of fireworks to the New World. Captain John Smith was the first to set off a display in 1608 in Jamestown. American colonists soon picked up on this habit of the Europeans and started hosting their own fireworks shows. But they may have gotten a little carried away. In Rhode Island, a spate of firecracker-related pranks became such a public nuisance that officials banned the mischievous use of pyrotechnics in 1731. And that brings us to July 2, 1776, 2 days before the Continental Congress adopted the Declaration of Independence, and a letter written by a man to his wife. That man was John Adams, and in his letter to his wife, he presaged the use of fireworks to celebrate the 4th of July. He wrote, "The day will be the most memorable in the history of America. I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, bonfires and illuminations, which are the fireworks, from one end of this continent to the other, from this time forward and forevermore." And so it was. The following year, fireworks displays commemorated the fledgling country's first anniversary, just as they have for each subsequent one. Of course, if you had been there for America's first anniversary, you still would not have seen colored fireworks. Those will not be created for another 60 years by the Italians. The secret code of Chinese fireworks was first cracked by a French pyrotechnician called Claude Ruggieri, who came from the renowned Ruggieri family of pyrotechnicians in the 18th century. The Ruggieri family consisted of 5 brothers, all of whom were from Bologna, Italy. They all traveled around Europe showcasing their skills and their talents with fireworks. Up to now, as we've previously mentioned, fireworks had no colors. Their default color was white. Now, Claude realized that the trick to making colors lay in adding metallic salts to create colored flames. In one concoction, Claude took 4 parts of verdigris, or copper carbonate, 2 parts of blue vitriol, or copper sulfate, and 1 part of sal ammoniac, or ammonium chloride, which he mixed together with alcohol and then dipped cotton threads into the wet paste and hung them on the figure of a palm tree to make the leaves appear to burn green. By the early 1800s, Claude had cemented his position as a master pyrotechnician. He even wrote a book, published in 1801, in which he talked about some of the special effect techniques he used in his shows. For instance, the illusion of a burning building could be crafted by strategically placing small amounts of burning tow behind painted flames. More dramatic effects could be achieved through the combustion of lycopodium powder, which produces a bright flash when ignited. Claude also explained the captivating potential of Bengal fire, a form of slow-burning firework or flare, capable of producing dazzling effects on stage. He also collaborated with aeronaut André-Jacques Garnerin, intertwining the principles of aerial philosophy with fireworks, sending fireworks up in hot air balloons and launching them from above. So he really revolutionized the use of fireworks and what they could do. But there was one code that Claude was not able to crack. It is a code that has not been cracked to this day, and that is the color blue. Blue is the most difficult color to create in a firework. To create a blue color, copper chloride is used. It emits a blue light when it's heated. The problem is that when fireworks explode, they do so at such a high heat that it destroys the copper chloride before it can create its blue light. Pyrotechnicians have been trying for years to come up with an ideal mixture that provides a temperature high enough for copper chloride to shine brightly without being destroyed in the process. It's a very, very, very thin line to walk, and so far, nobody's been able to do it. And that's why you'll never see blue fireworks at a fireworks show. It's because nobody knows how to do it. Now, in the 1890s, with all of these fireworks displays seemingly taking place around the clock and being set off by anybody, including unskilled ruffians, people started getting tired of the noise associated with them. So they created a society called the Society for the Suppression of Unnecessary Noise. Its main purpose was to lobby for some kind of restrictions on fireworks, restrictions that most states adopted and still have today. These restrictions include how they can be used, where they can be used, who can use them, who can buy what kind of fireworks, and so on. But accidents can and do still happen, and we'll be talking about one of them next week, an accident which turned out to be one of the deadliest. For now, if you find yourself watching a fireworks show this 4th of July, you will witness over 2,000 years of danger, invention, and beauty wrapped into a small package. From exploding bamboo to parcels of gunpowder and metals, our science and our world have come a long way in the past millennia. Even the most common science often has a wonderful and fascinating history. Who knows what the future will bring next? Only time will tell. Now, speaking of fireworks, we'll be taking a look at some local displays a little bit later on in the program. We'll also be taking a look at a recipe for a 2-ingredient dessert that is perfect for a hot summer day. So make sure you stay tuned for both of those. For now, since Mechanics Hall is quiet for the rest of this month and large parts of next month as well, we're going to head right on over to the Hanover Theater for the Performing Arts and Mrs. Doubtfire. Everyone's favorite Scottish nanny is coming to Worcester in this internationally acclaimed hit musical. Based on the beloved film Mrs. Doubtfire, it tells the hysterical and heartfelt story of an out-of-work actor who will do anything for his kids. It's the lovable, big-hearted musical comedy that we need right now, and it's one that proves that we are all better together. You have 5 options over the course of 3 days to go and see Mrs. Doubtfire. It opens on Friday, June 26th at 7:30. It continues on Saturday, June 27th at 2 p.m. and again at 7:30. There are also 2 shows on Sunday, June 28th. The first is at 1 p.m. and at this performance, audio description services will be available to you. The next and final performance of Mrs. Doubtfire is on Sunday evening at 6:30. And at this performance, American Sign Language interpretation will be available. The show runs approximately 2 hours and 30 minutes, and there is one intermission. Tickets range in price from $55 all the way up to $115, depending on where you choose to sit in the theater. To purchase your tickets for Mrs. Doubtfire, you've got your usual two options. You can go to thehanovertheater.org, or you can give the box office a phone call, 877-571-7469. As a friendly reminder, when you call, please let the box office know if you will be using audio description or American Sign Language services so that they can get you set up with those services. Again, the telephone number for the box office is 877-571-7469. Heading down to Indian Ranch in Webster, they have a concert coming up. It is called Voyage. This is a celebration of the music of Journey. This is Sunday, June 28th. The gates will open at 11:30. Monkey Wrench will be performing on the Corral stage at 11:45 a.m. And then the main concert will begin at 1 p.m. Tickets range in price from $33.65 up to $44.90, depending on where you choose to sit in the venue. The Samuel Slater's Concert Club is available for this concert. There are 4 options to choose from. Bar seating for one, which is $25. Bar high top for 4 people, which is $80. A table for 2, which is $40. And a table for 4, which is $80. As a friendly reminder, if you are planning on attending the concert, you will need a separate ticket for that, as the concert club ticket will not get you in. It is only good for the concert club, not the concert itself. Also available to you on Sunday is a pre-show cruise on board the Indian Princess Historic Paddle Wheeler. Cruises are between 75 minutes and an hour and a half in length. The cruise on Sunday departs at 9:30 a.m. Boarding is 30 minutes prior to that. Boats do leave on schedule, so make sure you get there on time. The Indian Princess has 2 levels for you to enjoy. The bottom level is enclosed, and it does have air conditioning. The top level is an open-air deck. Both levels have their own maximum seating capacity, so in that vein, seating is available on a first-come, first-served basis. So that's another good reason to get there early, so that you can get a prime seat for the cruise. There are 2 restrooms on board the Indian Princess. They are both located on the main level. That's the enclosed air-conditioned level of the boat. You'll find them there along with a full bar and a galley. So if you'd like to get something to eat or drink during your cruise, that is the perfect place to go. The galley, that is, not the restroom. That would be a little awkward. Now, while the concert is held rain or shine, the cruise is not. The Indian Princess is able to cruise in mild rain. It can handle that. What it can handle is anything more severe than mild rain. So if that happens, keep an eye on your email, as the folks at Indian Ranch will send you a notification letting you know whether the cruise is going or not. If it is not going, you have 2 options. You can get a full refund on your ticket, or you will also be given the choice of exchanging it for another cruise, putting it towards another cruise on another date. That choice is yours and yours entirely. There is no smoking or vaping on board the Indian Princess at any time, upstairs or downstairs, so please leave those things in your car or at home. Tickets for the Indian Princess are $33 for adults, $28 for seniors, and $28 for children. To purchase any of these options, including the pre-show cruise and the Samuel Slater's Concert Club, you've got 2 options. You can head to indianranch.com/concerts, or you can call 508-943-3871. 508-943-3871. Now, speaking of Samuel Slater's restaurant, they have a show coming up as well. This is on Friday night. This is Comedy Night, featuring Tony V, a Boston comedy legend, Ryan Ruskowski, a Boston-based stand-up comedian, and Ryan Ellington, a comedian who grew up in Wilbraham. All 3 will be performing on Friday, June 26th at 7:30. The doors will open at 6:30. This is an event for folks 21 and older only, and yes, you do need a valid ID to get in. Tickets are $20 across the board and can be purchased by heading to www.samuelslaters.com/events. www.samuelslaters.com/events or by calling 508-943-1639. 508-943-1639. The Clinton Summer Concert Series is coming up as well next Tuesday, and performing will be Mr. Strickland. He will be performing on Tuesday, June 23rd from 6:30 until 8 p.m. in Central Park at 242 Church Street in Clinton. If it happens to rain on Tuesday, the concert will be held the next day, Wednesday, June 24th at the same time, 6:30. Also making an appearance at the concert will be several food trucks and vendors, and these include The Taco Dude, Sterling Street Brewery, The Fountain, Wheat and Water, and Fran Flynn. Now, speaking of summer concert series, Sterling is having a concert as well. The Jim Atkinson Band will be performing on Wednesday, July 1st at 6 p.m. The Jim Atkinson Band has a repertoire spanning decades of blues, rock, and roots music. And again, they'll be performing on Wednesday, July 1st at 6 p.m. at Memorial Park at 5 Main Street, which is located behind the fire station. Now, just a few minutes ago, we were talking about the Indian Princess cruise. Well, there is another cruise you can go on. This is a riverboat cruise of the Connecticut River. Heritage Riverboat Cruises start next week on Wednesday, July 1st, and they run through October 13th, so you've got lots of time to head down the Connecticut River. There are cruises on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of each week. They depart at 11 a.m., 1:15 p.m., and 3 p.m. There will be no cruises on July 4th or Labor Day, but they will operate three cruises on Columbus Day. Cruises head down the river about 5.5 miles to Barton Cove, and then they turn around and come back. The entire trip is about 1.5 hours long, and they are narrated by knowledgeable guides. The boats used are pontoon boats, so this is a nice, relaxing ride down the Connecticut River. Cruises depart from the Riverview Picnic Area Dock in Northfield, which is just down Route 2 from Orange. The address is 144 Pine Meadow Road in Northfield. If you go, make sure you bring binoculars and a camera, as well as sunscreen and a hat to protect you from the sun. In cooler weather, make sure to bring a warm coat or a windbreaker, as it could be a little windy out on the river. Pets are not allowed on the boat, so please leave them at home. Do not leave them in your car. It will get very hot very quickly, even with the window cracked. You are welcome to bring a snack and a drink with you on the boat. Please note, the restroom at the back of the boat is currently out of order, so please make a stop in the happy room in the picnic area before you get on the boat. You can also use the comfort station in the North Mountain Visitor Center located on the right side of Route 63, which is the one you'll take north from Route 2. And you'll find it just before you get to the cemetery on the right side. That's where you're going to make your left turn to go down to the dock. When you get there, head up to the second floor to find the restrooms there. One thing you cannot do here at the visitor center is purchase tickets. They are not sold there. Now, the boat is fully wheelchair and handicapped accessible. There will also be sensory-friendly cruises this season, but those have not yet been scheduled. If the river is high or the weather is inclement or the boat is suffering from a mechanical issue or there is illness among the cruise might be canceled. And if this happens, you will get a complete refund. Tickets are $15 for adults, $14 for seniors, $8 for children aged 12 and under. If you do have a child, 12 and under, who is able to walk, they must wear a life jacket at all times while on the boat. And those life jackets will be provided to you when you get there. No need to bring your own. If you have an EBT, WIC, or Connector Care card, this cruise is free to you. To check availability and to make a reservation, you can head to the following website, firstlight.energy/stewardship. firstlight.energy/stewardship. When you get there, scroll past the picture of the Connecticut River and past the map of Massachusetts until you come to the heading MA Recreation. Under that heading, you'll find the cruise listed in the second place from the left. Click on it, and you'll be on your way. You can also give them a phone call at 800-859-2960. 800-859-2960. Your other option for purchasing tickets is to purchase them at the dock, but if you do that, there is no guarantee that there will be any open seats remaining, so it is best to purchase them ahead of time. For more information and to purchase a ticket for the cruise, head to firstlight.energy/stewardship or call 800-859-2960. 800-859-2960. Coming up this weekend in Marlborough is the Northeast Sports Card Expo. 1,000 vendors, 150,000 square feet of expo space, more than 50 different celebrities all over the course of 3 days. There will also be on-site card authentication and grading, appearances by mascots, raffles and giveaways, food trucks, and plenty of trading cards to choose from. And these include everything from sports to Pokemon to collectibles to non-sports cards and everything in between. The Sports Card Expo opens on Friday, June 26th from 2 p.m. until 7 p.m. They are offering early entry at 1 p.m. and they are offering super early entry at 12:30. Then the Sports Card Expo continues on Saturday, June 27th from 10 a.m. until 6 p.m. Early entry is at 9 a.m. Super early entry is at 8:30 a.m. And then it finishes up on Sunday, June 28th from 9:30 until 4 with early entry at 9 a.m. There is no super early entry on Sunday. Tickets are $20 for general admission. This includes one autograph from any one celebrity of your choosing. Early entry is $30. Super early entry is $50. And kids under 12 can get in for free. To purchase your tickets for the expo, you can head to www.northeastexpo.com, www.northeastexpo.com, and hover over upcoming shows in the menu at the top of the page. In the menu that drops down below that, click on the Marlborough show, and I'll give you the exact address in just a moment. On the next page, scroll about halfway down the page until you come to a black box marked Buy Tickets. It'll be located just below the map. Click on that and you'll be on your way. Also at the Northeast Expo website, you'll find a list of all of the celebrities that will be making appearances and when they will be doing so. You'll also find a list of all of the vendors and a map of where they'll be located inside the expo so that you can plan out your day. Again, that website is www.northeastexpo.com. The expo is being held at the Four Kicks Sports Complex at 219 Forest Street in Marlborough. The Friends of the Thayer Memorial Library are hosting their annual Summer Youth Book Sale this Friday and Saturday. Friday, June 26th from 12 noon until 5 p.m. and Saturday, June 27th from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. It is free to attend, although if you would like a book, you will have to purchase it. The Thayer Memorial Library is located at 717 Main Street in Lancaster. There is also an indoor community plant swap this weekend here in Worcester. This is a fun community swap with fellow plant lovers. Bring a healthy, pest-free, already potted plant and take home a plant of similar size or value. This is Sunday, June 28th from 12 noon until 2 p.m. at Creative Hub Worcester at 2 Ionic Avenue. Now, if you can't make it to this weekend's plant swap, there are two more scheduled for this year, July 19th and August 16th. All three of these are free to you. For more information or if you have any questions, they ask that you send them an email to info@creativehubworcester.org. info@creativehubworcester.org. Now, speaking of plant swaps, actually this has nothing to do with a plant swap, but you might be able to purchase some plants there. This is the Holden Farmers Market. The town of Holden is hosting a farmers market next Tuesday, June the 30th, from 3 p.m. until 6 p.m. You can expect an exciting lineup of vendors and plenty of surprises, too. The farmers market, which is free to attend, is being held across the street from the Gale Free Library at 23 Highland Street in Holden. There are a couple of festivals coming up this week and weekend, starting with Porch Fest in Northborough. There will be a variety of musicians at a variety of locations around Northborough playing a variety of live music. Porch Fest is being held on Saturday, June 27th from 12 p.m. until 6 p.m. If it rains on Saturday, the rain date is the next day, Sunday, June 28th at the same exact times, 12 p.m. until 6 p.m. This Porch Fest festival is completely free to you. For more information, head on over to northboroughculture.org, northboroughculture.org. Once you get there, you'll find a list of all of the performers. This list includes when they are scheduled to perform and where they will be, and this comes in list form or on a map as well. Right now, there are 51 musicians scheduled to play at 22 different locations in Northborough, so spend a little time with the list and the map and plan out your route for the day. Again, that website is northboroughculture.org. northboroughculture.org. Clem's out in Spencer is hosting a pet expo. This is a tail-wagging good time packed with activities for pets and their people. There will be pet adoptions from local shelters, local vendors, treats, toys, free samples, and exclusive discounts. Pet ID tags can be made on site. You can give the Clem's prize wheel a spin and you might end up winning a prize. There will be pet photo shoots for you and your fur baby, a dog biscuit charcuterie board tasting for the dogs in the family, pet-themed raffles with awesome prizes. You can meet some mini cows, learn about sugar gliders. You can learn about pet first aid and CPR. And there will be food trucks, barbecue demonstrations, music, and much, much more. And the best part? This is all free to you. There is no admission or ticket required. If you have a well-behaved pet, you can bring them along, too. This is happening on Saturday, June 27th, from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m. at Clem's, which is located at 117 West Main Street, out in Spencer. For more information, you can head to clemsonline.com, or you can give Clem's a phone call at 508-885-2708. 508-885-2708. Out in Sutton at Whittier Farms, they are hosting their Spirit of America's 250th. This parade of farm and other equipment kicks off at 10 a.m. from Sutton Center, and it travels to the Sutton Schools complex. If you go, be sure to give the equipment a wave, and you just might win a free T-shirt. All of this happens on Saturday, June 27th, starting at 10 a.m. There is a food truck festival in Winchendon. You can expect a lineup of incredible food trucks featuring sweet treats, cold drinks, and more. Not only will they have food trucks at the food truck festival, they will also have midway games and a battle of the bands. All of this is Saturday, June 27th from 12 noon until 7 p.m. at GAR Park at 52 Murdoch Avenue in Winchendon. And it is completely free to attend. In Bolton, the Tom Denny Nature Camp is celebrating their 50th anniversary this year, 50 years of camping in Bolton. This is Saturday, June 27th from 12 noon until 3 p.m. If it rains on Saturday, they will push the whole thing to the next day, Sunday, June 28th at the same time, which is 12 noon, until 3 p.m. There is a short annual meeting at 12 noon before the celebration begins, and once the meeting is done, then the celebration can get started. They'll have games, arts and crafts, temporary tattoos, face painting, tie-dye, water guns, hiking. There will be a DJ playing music. You can enter a raffle to win a free week of camp. There'll be a Mexican food truck on site and s'mores as well. And at 2 o'clock, there is an animal adventures show. And all of this is completely free to you. And it is happening at the Bowers Springs Conservation Area at 44 Flanagan Road out in Bolton. In the town of Athol, they are hosting a day-long celebration of the many beautiful lakes, rivers, and ponds that are located in Athol, and they're calling it Our Waters. This year, Silver Lake is being featured. There will be many activities for the family, including guided walks with the Athol Bird and Nature Club, fishing instruction, tips from Miller's River Trout Unlimited, pickleball clinics, food trucks, magnet fishing, which I hear is a lot of fun. I've never done it myself, but it does look like a lot of fun. A scavenger hunt, numerous booths to peruse, and much, much more. And the best part, all of this is completely free to you. This is happening on Saturday, June 27th, from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m. If it rains on Saturday, they are going to push the whole thing to Sunday, June 28th. That's the very next day, from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m. And this is happening at 1899 Main Street in Athol. Now, this next item on the list, technically it's not a festival, but I put it on the list anyway because it is a party that is definitely worth mentioning if you happen to like roller skating, that is. This is an outdoor roller skating party that is held every Friday night throughout the summer, and it gets underway this Friday, June 26th, from 6 p.m. until 9 p.m. At the party, there will be a live DJ, roller skating contests, prizes, performances, local food, and merchandise vendors. The party, which costs $5 to get in, is being held at the Worcester Common Oval every Friday night until the end of the summer. Coming up at Polar Park next weekend is the 4th of July Family Fest. And there's a reason I'm telling you about this now, but hold tight to that thought for just a moment, please. This is a fun-filled, family-friendly event featuring creative, competitive, and enjoyable activities for attendees of all ages. Face painting, glitter tattoos, balloon artists, inflatables, water balloons, bingo, a scavenger hunt, and touch a truck. All of these activities are available from 4 p.m. until 7 p.m. At 7 p.m., Field of Dreams will be shown up on the big screen, and then after that, Unibank will be putting on a fireworks show to celebrate 250 years of independence. All of this happens on Saturday, July 4th, and I wanted to mention this now to give you a chance to purchase tickets online for a discounted price. You can purchase them at Polar Park when you get there, but the prices do go up if you wait until then. So, for adults, online tickets are $10 and day-of tickets are $15. So if you purchase them online, you're going to save yourself $5. And then you can take that $5 and put it towards the roller skating party at the Worcester Common. For kids 12 and under, online tickets are $5 and day-of tickets are $7. There is also a VIP ticket. Now, you might think this is a little bit pricey, but there is good reason for it. $40 for adults and $30 for kids. Your VIP ticket includes access to the DCU Club, a private bar, an all-you-can-eat barbecue buffet featuring all of your barbecue favorites, and most importantly, guaranteed seating for the movie and the fireworks. So I think that $40 is well worth it. To purchase tickets ahead of time, head to www.polarpark.com/familyfest. www.polarpark.com/familyfest. Now, that VIP ticket that we just mentioned, you can only purchase it online ahead of time. You cannot purchase it at Polar Park on the day of the Family Fest. So again, that website to purchase your tickets online is www.polarpark.com slash Family Fest. Now, speaking of Polar Park, your Woo Sox are in action this weekend. They are taking on the visiting Toledo Mud Hens on Friday, June 26th at 6:45 p.m. It is town takeover night. They will be celebrating everything Charlton. There's also Shades of Summer Baseball. I don't know what that is. They did not provide any information on the Woo Sox website or the Polar Park website. So I guess you'll have to go to find out. There's also a giveaway on Friday night. The first 5,000 fans in attendance will receive a Woo Sox tri-corner hat. So make sure you get there early to get yours. And as this is a Friday night game, there are indeed fireworks put on by Unibank. And tonight's theme is American Heartland Rock and Yacht Rock. On Saturday, June 27th, the Toledo Mudhens will be back in town. First pitch is scheduled for 4:05 p.m. There is a youth clinic in the morning before the game, and then after the game, there will be a scout sleepover. Also after the game, you can play sunset catch on the field. It is also Unibank Women in Sports Day at Polar Park on Saturday. What does that mean? Well, you can enjoy a complimentary lunch in the DCU Club and a question and answer session with accomplished journalist and author Jane Levy and longtime major leaguer and native of Milton, Rich Hill. And that lunch begins at 1 p.m. It is also Alternate Identity Night at Polar Park. The Woo Sox will transform themselves into the Kelly Squares and pay tribute to everybody's favorite local intersection. It is also Best Buddies Day at Polar Park, presented by Teddy Peanut Butter. So a lot going on Saturday night. Your Woo Sox and Toledo Mud Hens will wrap everything up in their series on Sunday, June 28th. First pitch is scheduled for 1:05 p.m. Kids will have the opportunity to run the bases after the game. It is also Jewish Heritage Day at Polar Park. After this, your Woo Sox hit the road for a trip to Syracuse for the entirety of next week. They will be back home on July 7th for their last series before the All-Star break. And we'll tell you more about those games when the time comes. For now, to purchase tickets for any Woo Sox home game, you've got your usual options. You can head to www.milb.com/Worcester, www.milb.com/Worcester. You can also go to www.polarpark.com. You can visit the box office in person if you happen to be in the neighborhood, and that neighborhood is 100 Madison Street. Or you could give the box office a good old-fashioned ringy-dingy at 508-500-1000. That's 508-500-1000. Now, your other baseball team is also in action. This is the Worcester Bravehearts. They will be at home against Lowell on Friday, June 26th at 6:30 p.m. They do have a day off on a Saturday before they visit Westfield to take on the Starfires on Sunday, June 28th at 4 p.m. They will then be home on Monday, June 29th to take on the visiting New Britain Bees. First pitch is scheduled for 6:30. Your Worcester Bravehearts will be up in Nashua, New Hampshire, taking on the Silver Knights on Tuesday, June the 30th at 6:03 p.m. to wrap up the month of June. To begin the month of July, on Wednesday, July 1st, the Bravehearts will be at home, taking on the visiting New Britain Bees. First pitch is scheduled for 6:30. They will also have a home game on Thursday, July 2nd, against the Westfield Starfires. After this, your Worcester Bravehearts have just 2 weeks of games before the All-Star break, and of course we'll tell you more about those games when the time comes around. For now, season tickets, flex packs, and single game tickets, those are all on sale. To purchase any of those options, head on over to www.WorcesterBraveheartsStore.com. That's all one word, please. www.WorcesterBraveheartsStore.com. You can also give them a phone call at 508-438-3773. 508-438-3773. 7-3. Now, as we mentioned earlier in the program, there are some fireworks shows coming up, and the time has come to talk about those shows. We already mentioned that there will be fireworks after the WooSox game on Friday night. There are also fireworks after the Bravehearts game on Friday night as well. So a little bit of a competing fireworks show. See who puts on the better show. As for other fireworks shows, we'll start out in Rutland, where part of the 4th of July celebration will go on, but part will not. It all starts on Saturday, June 27th. That's this Saturday. This is day one of a four-day Independence Day celebration in Rutland. Day one features Junior Olympics for ages 5 through 12. That starts at 8:30 in the morning at Memorial Field. After that, there will be a volleyball tournament for ages 13 and up. That gets underway at 11 a.m., also at Memorial Field. And then to round out the day, there will be a chicken barbecue sponsored by the Rutland Fire Department, and they will be doing it in front of the library starting at 3 p.m. Day 2, which is June 28th, that's Sunday, it features a road race around the town common. There are two races. There's one for the kids. That starts at 9:30 a.m., and that costs $15 to register. And the adult race starts at 10 a.m., and it costs $25 to register for that race. After the two races are finished, they will have a bike and doll carriage parade. The competition starts at 12 noon on the common in front of the churches. The Historical Society is hosting an open house as well. They're also hosting a lemonade social from 1 p.m. until 3 p.m. at the Rutland Historical Society. Day 3 and day 4 of the celebration in Rutland are scheduled for July 3rd and July 4th. There were supposed to have been fireworks on July 3rd. That would have been day 3, but that has been canceled. July 4th was supposed to have a parade. That has also been canceled as well. But there is still one more event coming up on July 4th, and we'll tell you about that next time. Heading down to Auburn, they are having a fireworks and Independence Day celebration as well. This is on Tuesday, June 30th, from 5 p.m. until 10 p.m. And at 6:45 p.m., there will be a grand entrance of the American Legion Tuttle Post and Vietnam veterans for the community. Again, that's at 6:45 p.m. 10 minutes later, at 6:55 p.m., there will be opening remarks. 5 minutes after the opening remarks at 7 p.m., there will be a concert by the band called Doc 10. And then the fireworks get underway at 9:30. Throughout the evening, there will also be family-friendly activities, vendors, food and drinks, and train rides as well. There are shuttles that will be available to take you from the parking lots at the Auburn Mall, the Packetchog School, and the Senior Center, to the celebration at the Riley Pappas Performance Pavilion in Auburn. So please do make use of those shuttles. They are free to you. The city of Worcester is throwing their Independence Day celebration on Thursday, July the 2nd, at Cristoforo Colombo Park at 180 Shrewsbury Street. The celebration gets underway at 4 o'clock. That is when the park opens. Also opening at 4 o'clock is the food court, the sponsor exhibits and giveaways, the entertainment, and all of the family activities. All of that gets underway at 4 p.m. At 8 p.m., there will be live music performed by Dan Gable and his orchestra with special guest and Worcester's own Allison Porter. You might remember her as Curly Sue. At 9:30, the fireworks are scheduled to get underway. They will be accompanied by synchronized music. Other things to do at the Independence Day celebration in Worcester include the Splash Park, playground, cotton candy, and other tasty treats. There is also a teddy bear clinic and other activities in the kids' zone. If you go, feel free to bring along a blanket or a lawn chair with you so that you'll have somewhere comfortable to sit to enjoy the event. While there is no charge for admission to the event, food and drink and other activities may require you to purchase them. So just keep that in mind. Also on July 2nd, the Webster Federal First Credit Union is sponsoring a fireworks show. This will be down at Memorial Beach Park in Webster. It starts at 9 p.m. There will also be food and lots of fun, too. Gates to the beach open at 5 p.m. and the fireworks show starts at 9 p.m. I would recommend getting there early. I have a feeling the beach is going to fill up pretty fast. After this, there are many more fireworks shows and celebrations planned for the 4th of July, and we'll tell you about them next time, right here on Weekend Update. For now, why not ring in Independence Day with a cobbler, a two-ingredient frozen berry cookie cobbler, that is. This is exactly what it sounds like. It includes throwing a bunch of frozen berries in a baking dish, topping them with store-bought cookie dough, and putting the whole thing in the oven. The result is jammy, tender berries with buttery, crisp cookies, and it's super easy to make. You only need two ingredients. Well, three if you include the ice cream that you're going to want to serve with it. Trust me on that one. You will need frozen berries. You can use any kind or combination of berries that you like, and you don't even need to thaw them either. You can use them straight out of the freezer. You will also need some store-bought cookie dough. You can use any kind of cookie dough here, whatever you can come up with. Whatever your favorite cookie dough is, feel free to use it here. To make the cobbler, it's very, very easy. Add your frozen berries to a baking dish until it's about 3/4 full. Of course, if you've got a few extra berries left in the bag, you might as well throw those in too. Why not? Then place pre-portioned cookie dough on top of the berries. And even it out as best you can. Doesn't have to be pretty. Cobblers are never pretty. Bake the whole thing in a 325-degree oven for about a half an hour until the berries are jammy and the cookie is baked through. There are, of course, many different options for making this cobbler. You could try other frozen fruits as well, like peaches. Peaches would work beautifully. They would be amazing topped with a crispy butter cookie. That would be delicious. You can amplify the flavors of your fruit with a squeeze of lemon and a sprinkle of brown sugar, maybe even a sprinkle of cinnamon or fresh lemon zest. The possibilities really are endless. You just got to use your imagination and see what you come up with. Whatever combination you do come up with, make sure you serve it nice and hot with a scoop of your favorite ice cream for a decadent homemade dessert. Now, if you happen to have any leftover cobbler, I don't know why you would. This is a very delicious cobbler. But if you did, you can wrap it tightly in plastic wrap and store it in your refrigerator for up to 3 days. Or, since the berries already came frozen, you can pop the leftover cobbler right back in your freezer, and you'll have it on hand through the summer for a very convenient and delicious dessert on demand. Well, there's that familiar tune again, and you know what that means. It means that our time together has come to an end. Next week, our 250th birthday preparations conclude with a look at one of the deadliest fireworks accidents in history. We'll tell you what was being celebrated and who the guest of honor was. And I'll give you a hint. It was somebody pretty important. Tune in next week to find out who. Until then, thanks for hanging out with me for the past hour. It is always appreciated and always a pleasure. Have a great rest of your day and get out and do something fun. Head to a concert, cheer on your Woo Sox and Bravehearts, swap some plants, enjoy some fireworks, or cruise down the Connecticut River. After all, life is a lot like a river cruise. The key is to go with the flow. It's the only way to stay current. Oh, I like that. I like that a lot. That's a keeper for sure. Enjoy your cruise, and I'll see you next time on Weekend Update. Weekend Update has been a production of the Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. Programming is funded in part by the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind. If you would like a hard copy of our program schedule, either in large print or in Braille, please call 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or you can always go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, your iPad, or your Android device. If you know of an upcoming event, or you have a question or a suggestion, or even a comment about anything you've heard here, you can always reach me at weekendupdate@yahoo.com. That's weekendupdate@yahoo.com. My name is Adam. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great rest of your day, and join me again next week for another edition of Weekend Update.
This is Bird Note. Tree swallows glisten in the June sunlight. As they swoop and glide, their arcs interlacing in the air. Agile, elegant, masters of flight, the swallows gather near their nest boxes, clustered on posts at the edge of a marsh. A white feather flutters down among them. One swallow snatches the feather in its bill and flies upward as another swallow gives chase. After a moment, the lead bird lets loose the feather, which drifts lazily, until the second bird swoops in to catch it in midair. The aerial ballet of swallows and feather swirls on for minutes as other swallows join in the feather chase. Are the swallows just playing, or are they competing for these feathers? Loose feathers are an important resource for tree swallows. They line their nests thickly with them, a feather bed for nestlings. Continuing research suggests that as tree swallows build their nests, it is the females who collect the feathers. Their aerial dance may well be a competition for nest lining material. And the males in the feather chase? Maybe they're just playing along. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann. Bird Note gives you the sounds of birds every day, and you get the sights as well when you follow us on Instagram at Bird Note Radio.
There are more than 1 million English words. Next up, word nerd Steph Donoff with some of them worth talking about.
With a vocabulary hovering around the 1 million word mark, English has words for everything. In fact, we even have a word that means that you forgot that one in a million word that means exactly what you want to say. You know the feeling the word is on the tip of your tongue and stays there? That word is lethologica. Again, that's lethologica. It comes from the Greek word lethe, meaning forgetfulness, and logos, which means word. In other words, I forgot the word. It's not usually a problem, it is something we all go through, especially if we are tired. But it does tend to happen more frequently as we get older. But there is another Greek-based word describing a similar but more problematic condition. That word is lethonomia. The letho comes from lethe, again for forget, and nomia means name. That can be really embarrassing, especially when it's your boss's name you forget, or someone you've known for years. And you know, it may be why so many people, especially long married people, call their spouses sweet lips or sugar bearer, you know.
That's enough talk about words. Let's go back to listening to them.
Welcome to Everyday Poems for Everyday, sponsored by Audio Journal. Our poem today is On the Grasshopper and Cricket by John Keats. The poetry of earth is never dead. When all the birds are faint with the hot sun and hide in cooling trees, a voice will run from hedge to hedge about the new mown mead. That is the grasshopper's. He takes the lead. In summer luxury. He has never done with his delights, for when tired out with fun, he rests at ease beneath some pleasant weed. The poetry of earth is ceasing never. On a lone winter evening, when the frost has wrought a silence from the stove, there shrills the cricket's song, in warmth increasing ever, and seems to one in drowsiness half lost, the grasshoppers among some grassy hills. You've been listening to Everyday Poems for Everyday, sponsored by Audio Journal, and read by me, Nikki Whichelow. Thanks for listening, and may your life be filled with the wonder of poetry.